It's estimated that there are 400,000 illegal aliens in the U.S. today who have been ordered deported, but instead have disappeared, melting into society. Losing track of those people has long been one of the biggest failures of the immigration system. There are only 700 deportation officers, a number all agree is inadequate to the task, and now there's a new effort to step up their work. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
It's a frigid morning under a full moon. In a Safeway parking lot in Silver Spring, Maryland, five federal deportation officers strap on bulletproof vests. With car engines running, they gather in a circle to be briefed on their next raid.
This alien's name is Arnaldo Reyes. He's from Guatemala.
Team leader Patrick Kearns tells them Reyes has been living at the same address for 3 or 4 years and working at a waterproofing company since 1996.
He has a burglary arrest from, actually a conviction from 1998, and he got order deported at the same time.
The officers pile into their Ford Expeditions and pull out of the lot in a convoy. New fugitive teams like this are being set up in 8 cities around the country. Their focus will be the estimated 80,000 alien absconders with a criminal record. It's an aggressive new approach for an agency where, for years, officers say they've had such an overwhelming caseload they couldn't even think of leaving their desks to search for fugitives. Just before dawn, the convoy pulls off the highway into a residential side street. The officers spread out on the lawn of a small one-story house, hands on gun holsters just in case. After several tense moments, a light goes on. A young, petite woman, clearly roused from bed, cautiously opens the door.
Hi, good morning. What do you want?
Minerva.
Minerva, okay.
Reyes's wife says her husband's away in Los Angeles. Kearns asks to come in and search. She says okay. There are family photos on the TV set, a child's red scooter in the hallway. 2 children are sleeping in a back room. The officers ask, who else is here? My brother, says the woman. They start questioning him. Suddenly, an officer who's been scouting the yard enters with another Latino woman. She says she's come over to get a ride to work. Her face is crestfallen as she realizes what she's just walked into.
¿Cómo se llama?
Sandra.
Do you have a green card?
No.
The woman is interrogated, her bag searched. When neither she nor the brother can offer valid ID, both are detained. He's handcuffed. As for Arnaldo Reyes, the officers decide they don't believe he's in L.A. 2 of them head off to see if he might be at work. One officer says they know Reyes' wife also is illegal, but she has no criminal record, and with children involved, they've chosen not to even question her.
Good, Ray.
Speaking as he drives between raids, Raymond Smith says being a deportation officer has long been demoralizing. And while he's pleased with the new push for arrests, he says the numbers will still be daunting.
As many as we remove, it's probably twice that many that end up going into the docket, because it constantly grows. At the same time, we've got a ton of people crossing the borders illegally every day.
At the Washington headquarters of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, Assistant Director David Venturella acknowledges the problem. Deportations, he says, just aren't as sexy as border patrol or tough sentencing, and they haven't gotten much funding in a decade-long drive to crack down on an exploding population of illegal immigrants.
The emphasis was arresting people, arresting people, arresting people, then detaining individuals, but no thought about removing.
But the 9/11 terror attacks made immigration an urgent national security issue, and now Venturella is hoping to leverage that into more money and manpower. In addition to creating the fugitive teams, the Department of Homeland Security is expanding immigration's presence in prisons.
We also have to stop the hemorrhaging, stopping the current aliens who are in the immigration process, making sure that they don't become our future absconders, and the number is always 400,000 plus.
Venturella says there simply isn't enough jail space or money to detain everyone facing possible deportation, so pilot programs are trying different approaches. In several cities, aliens are wearing electronic ankle bracelets, and others must call daily to a voice recognition system while they wait for court hearings. All this is a welcome effort, says Republican Congressman Charlie Norwood, but it's not nearly enough. Norwood wants state and local police officers to help enforce federal immigration law. He cites widespread frustration that police routinely pick up illegal aliens on traffic stops and such, but their mandate allows them only to call up immigration, and immigration responds,
"Gosh, we're really too busy. We can't get there." Or, "Gosh, we'll be there in a week." And in the meantime, we have problems with pedophiles being turned loose, murderers being turned loose, bank robbers being turned loose, and they have been.
Norwood's proposed legislation has gained more than 100 co-sponsors in Congress, but it's highly controversial among police departments and immigrant advocates. So the nation's overwhelmed deportation officers slog on as best they can. In ICE's Baltimore office, rolling shelves of case files fill a small room. More thick files fill carts in the hallways and are stacked around each deportation officer's cubicle, a constant reminder of the frustration of the job here.
Let me show you something.
Despite recent improvements, deportation officer Ken Jovi says his computer system is antiquated and communicates little with other agencies. If an alien moves to a different state, it's nearly impossible to track him down. Plus, where's the time? Jovi estimates that right now, each of the 11 deportation officers in Maryland is responsible for following 2,500 to 3,000 cases.
We're acting as parole officers. We're acting as paralegals. We're out there going to the jails. We're going to court. We're picking people up. We're assisting detention. We're doing all of this. At the same time, we're running 2,500 or so cases apiece. Things are going to fall through the cracks.
This is your warrant of arrest. This is what's holding you in immigration custody. Okay.
In the tightly secured detention room of Baltimore's ICE office, 27-year-old Roger Johnson sits somewhat dazed in an orange prison jumpsuit as an immigration officer explains his case.
Also right here, your bond. They are not giving you a bond. You will remain in immigration custody until the determination of your case by the immigration judge. Okay. You understand everything that I'm saying?
All right. Johnson's family immigrated legally from Jamaica to Maryland when he was 5. By law, he became deportable 8 years ago when he served time for possession of marijuana. But prison officials either didn't notice or didn't bother with the fact that he was not a citizen. Now, on this very morning, Johnson has finished a 15-month sentence for car theft and second-degree assault, and this time the system worked. Johnson thought he'd be home by now, but here he is facing the prospect of being returned to a country he barely remembers.
I haven't thought about it. I mean, I don't think I've been back since I've been up here. All my family's up here. My aunts, uncles, everybody's up here.
Perhaps lucky for Johnson, he won't be leaving anytime soon. Court hearings could drag on. Then, even if he loses his appeal, there will be much paperwork with Jamaican consular officials, and then the travel arrangements. And through it all, Johnson will be detained at a cost of $65 a day. Immigration officials say, just like every other part of tracking and removing aliens, the final deportation is labor-intensive, time-consuming, and costly. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.